You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The primary is 5 days away, and Sacramento voters will be deciding the city's next mayor. It is a race that can be decided on March 5th if a candidate gets more than 50% of the vote. This month, we devoted Thursdays to having one-on-one conversations with the four leading candidates, and that included former Sacramento City Council member Steve Hansen, epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer, and current State Assembly member Kevin McCarty. Today, we round out our mayoral profiles and welcome former State Senator Dr. Richard Pan to discuss his vision for Sacramento. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on Insight, Vicki.
So, Dr. Pan, you have been in Sacramento now for 25 years. You're a physician, and you first started at UC Davis's pediatric residency program. You led that program. And then you're elected to the state legislature in 2010. You termed out. When did you start thinking about running for mayor of Sacramento?
Well, actually, after I finished my term in the state legislature and the state senate, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and practice. In fact, I still see patients at the Sacramento County Clinic on Broadway, and also I'm teaching at UC Davis as well. But as I was going about the neighborhood, and certainly I saw it before, I saw how much people were struggling on the streets, how frustrated people were that they couldn't, that we were not making progress. In fact, we were falling further behind on homelessness. And so I finally decided that, well, you know, we need to fix this problem. We need a, you know, restore confidence in city leadership to actually address these problems. And that's why I decided to run for mayor.
You also have a master's in public health. How does that shape your approach to elected office?
Well, as a public health expert and a physician, I take a results-oriented, fact-based approach to solving problems. I still see patients. So when a patient comes to me with a problem, you know, we go through what's going on. We look at the science, and then we come up with a treatment plan that's going to work. And frankly, that's what we need to do with homelessness as well, is that we need to look at the facts. We need to look at how we can get results. This is not about ideology. This is not about politics. This is about solving a problem. And that's what I've done in my time in the legislature. That's what I'll do as mayor as well.
From your perspective, since you served as a state lawmaker, you represented this area, Sacramento. Why has homelessness gotten to this point in the city?
Yeah. Well, frankly, first of all, and this is not a problem unique to Sacramento alone, but we don't have enough housing in the state of California. We don't have housing in Sacramento. So that's driving up the cost of housing. That's making housing much less available to people. So we need to address that. But also we need to help people who are, frankly, living at the edge. And basically all it takes is some expense, maybe a car, you know, the car got damaged, a healthcare problem, and now they're short on rent and now they're on the streets. And so we need to work to help people stay housed, all right? And in fact, I worked on in the legislature a program called CalAIM, which actually will bring down federal funds to help with housing navigation and rental assistance. And in fact, we're starting to implement this program right now. I'm on the United Way board, and the United Way California Capital Region is really working to help people stay housed or get people into housing. We need to bring that up to scale. But that's certainly an opportunity for us to keep people in their homes. But we also need to increase the amount of housing we have here in Sacramento. We don't have enough housing. We need to lower the cost of housing to produce housing. We need to have a lot more housing. I appreciate that the city council recently passed a new guidance on housing that's going to help. But we also need to work with to reduce the cost of housing itself so we can make it more affordable for people.
What do you say to voters who are just dissatisfied with the effectiveness of elected officials at curbing this problem, which has become unprecedented? It's more than a problem. It's a crisis. There are vulnerable people on the streets. You know, you have been in elected office during this time, since 2010. What do you say to voters who, you know, hold elected officials responsible for not really putting a tangible dent in this crisis?
You know, I feel the frustration. I share the frustration. I mean, as a resident of the city, as a small business owner, I share that frustration. In fact, one of the things I learned while I was in the state legislature is that, well, at the state level, you know, we can get money for local government. We can, you know, pass laws. Implementation takes place in local government. So, you know, I worked with the city to try to get actually property at Cal Expo, which is actually a state, you know, state land for to as a essentially a safe ground site. Unfortunately, it turned out that site that we helped them get is in a floodplain, so it didn't work, right? But that made it very frustrating for me as the state legislator because I went, well, didn't you vet that before you came and had me do the work that I need to do to make that happen along with my colleagues as well in the legislature? So we need to have a much more focus on getting things done. And that's, I think, what people are really frustrated by. They see a lot of announcements of things that people are going to do in the city, in the county, et cetera, and yet they don't see the actual difference happening on the ground. So it's an implementation problem. It's a follow-through problem. We need to have the city much more focused on that. That's what I'm going to do as mayor. I'm going to give that urgency and follow-through that we need to be sure that we actually make progress on this crisis.
It's not only the city and the county, they need to work together and they need to work in tandem. And yes, it is something that they have agreed to on paper following the passage of Measure U, which voters approved. But I mean, there have been tensions. There have been lawsuits between the city and the DA's office. You would inherit this as mayor. How would you overcome these hurdles to work in tandem with the county?
You know, frankly, I think people are tired of hearing blame being thrown back and forth, and they want us to work together, right? I actually understand the challenges the county faces because in the legislature, I was chair of the Budget Subcommittee on Health and Human Services. So I actually know where the money comes from for the mental health care, where it comes from for the substance use treatment, for the other social services that, frankly, the county is responsible for and is funded for. That's not what the city's funded for. So we, as a city, need to work closely with the county to make things happen. So we have programs, like I mentioned, CalAIM, Care Court, which actually I want to recognize that that's a decision by the county. That's not something the city can decide when they implement. That's a county decision, right? But we got to work with the county to be sure that we get the services. And then the city needs to focus on the things that we need to focus on, which is actually talking about our zoning rules, our permitting, to be sure we can lower the cost of housing, maximize the production of housing so we can get people housed.
Mm. Being the face of the city is one thing, and you would be that as mayor. And I know that you are well aware that as mayor in Sacramento, you're just one vote among the city council. You can have lofty ideas. You can hold press conferences expressing these ambitious goals. But ultimately, you need to work with council members. How would you work and collaborate with council members on the city council?
That's a very important question because actually, I spent my career chairing committees in the legislature, but also serving on not-for-profit boards, right? So I know how to be effective as essentially a board member. That's what the mayor is, the chair of the board of the city, right? That's the city council. And the city manager is the CEO of the city. But I know how to be an effective board member and a board chair to get action from our staff, essentially the city staff and the city manager. And part of that is appropriate oversight and accountability. And then it is following through. Now, the other thing that's really important, because you said the mayor only has one vote amongst all the city council members, is that the mayor has to have integrity, right? Because basically, how are you going to get the other council members to vote for something, some of which may be very difficult, is that they need to know that the mayor, who's asking them to do that, it has integrity. They're not going to throw the city council member or blame them for a vote that may not turn out well, that the mayor is willing to accept responsibility for the decisions that the council makes that he's leading. And so that's what I will do as mayor. And to be sure that we have integrity in the mayor's position, that we rebuild confidence in city leadership. That's something that's lacking right now, and we need to restore that. I think when you think about what happened with Measure C, where basically you had small businesses who are going to facing a doubling of the their taxes or more, who were never engaged in the discussion about that. And so, of course, now they're outraged about, but they've also lost confidence in city leadership. We can't have things like that happen over and over again.
One of the other issues that you want to tackle on your campaign page are safe neighborhoods, and that
yes,
also relates to crime. I mean, you say on your page that Sacramento has an incredibly low ratio of officers to mm-hmm. citizens, and that's something that you would want to address as mayor. I mean, last year, Sacramento Police, a record budget was a spending plan was approved for the police department. Residents during city council meetings, during public comment, have expressed harm in the most vulnerable communities impacted by crime to over-policing over the years and decades. How would you strike that right balance?
You know, I came to Sacramento as a community builder, All right. I got doctors out into the community. We worked with neighborhoods. And what was really important was to be sure we lifted the voices of each of the neighborhoods that we worked with. And frankly, when it comes to public safety and law enforcement, that's also what we need to do, right? We need the city to be much more responsive to the residents of the city. So, for example, the city staff actually reported we get 120 calls or 311 calls each day related to homelessness, and it takes 16 days on average to respond to those. That's way too long. That's being not responsive. Now, when it comes to law enforcement, we need to be sure that we restore order to our public streets and parks. In fact, I was at a forum, and it was the youth that said, we're challenged by the fact that we have people camping on the streets, and we're trying to get to school, and we have, it's dangerous for us. We can't use the sidewalks. We don't feel safe on our streets. That's unacceptable that our youth, that the people who live in our city do not feel that they can be in public spaces and be safe. So we have to restore order to those public spaces. We have to get rid of the blight. We have to be sure we keep them orderly and clean so that people have, again, confidence in the city government.
But as you know, when it comes to spaces to put people who are on the streets, I mean, there's just a fraction of the number of people who are unhoused on any given night. There are also residents who are concerned about criminalizing people who are on the streets with no place to go. So how do you help them?
Well, that's why we need to also, first of all, get more housing and also more safe ground spaces. So there's a place for people to go. And that's why I'm proud to be endorsed by a homeless advocate like Sister Libby Hernandez, because she knows that I'm going to work to solve the problem, right? So again, this is going back to let's look at the facts. Let's look at, what kind of results we can get, right? And this should not be driven by ideology or politics. This should be driven by this is a crisis we need to solve, and that's what I'm going to do as mayor.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with former state senator Dr. Richard Pan, who is running for Sacramento mayor. So as you know, Mayor Daryl Steinberg obviously rounding out his final term. How did he do as mayor?
Daryl Steinberg has accomplished a lot as our state senator and then as our mayor. I also think that this has been a challenging problem, and I think he struggled with it. And so I have to admit, when I first considered running for mayor, I looked at current mayor Daryl Steinberg, said, "Do I think I could do as well or better than he did?" Right? And I think there's an opportunity to make progress. I believe I'm the one who can make that happen. So I appreciate the work that he's done, and I appreciate what he's brought to the city council. But I think it's time for new leadership, and I'm going to bring that to the city council.
He has not endorsed a candidate yet. Is that something you would be interested in, his endorsement?
I think it's important that each of us as candidates stand on our own to the voters. I believe that I bring, again, a results-based leadership. So I point out that when I was in the legislature, we had a $28 billion state deficit. And just like the city is currently facing a $66 million, it keeps going up, deficit, right? When I left, we had a $30 billion reserve against the economic downturns. When I started in the legislature as a doctor, I was focused on getting people health care. We had the uninsured rate was 17%, and it had been that way actually for decades. It wasn't just the Great Recession. And when I left, we cut that to 7%, right? That's getting results for people. That's what I did as an elected official, as your legislator. That's what I'm going to do as mayor. It's time to get results for people. It's not, we can stop talking about the problem. Let's try actually get results on the problem.
I'm glad you brought up the projected budget deficit that the city's facing, because you would inherit this, and deficits don't always stay within one fiscal year. They can go beyond a fiscal year. How would you prioritize funding city services?
Well, it's important that we actually continue to support the core services that people expect. So I should point out, again, when I first got elected, we had a state budget deficit. We also had a city budget deficit at the time. And what did I do? Well, I worked with my city partners, with the firefighters. They were going to close fire stations, close fire services. I was able to get matching funds, $2 million a year, to help keep fire stations open during that time. That's what I did when I was in the legislature to help the city not have to cut back core services. And so that's what I'm going to continue to do as your mayor. As I already talked about, I already teed up an opportunity, because I know the state budget is in trouble, the city budget's in trouble. Well, guess what? Let's try to draw down federal funds that are available. We already got the federal approvals for keeping people in their homes so we can address our homeless issue.
Finally, and I asked the other candidates this as well, about how their life experience, their identities would shape how they lead. If you are elected mayor, you would actually become the first elected Asian American mayor. Mm-hmm. Mayor Jimmy was appointed. Is that just a milestone to you in city history, or does that carry more significance to how you would shape the city?
I think it is extremely significant because, after all, Asian Americans have been in the city. It's been part of the history of the city for over 150 years. Chinese Americans were brought to build the railroad, Transcontinental Railroad, which is a landmark for this city. So I do think it's important. But I also think it's important that we need to get leaders who come from lots of different backgrounds. I'm a child of immigrants. I know what the struggles my parents faced. In fact, frankly, when I was growing up, I didn't expect to be in elected office because we never saw anyone who looked like us in leadership positions, certainly not in elected office. So I am aware of the fact that my election to mayor, if it happens from the voters, would actually be a very strong signal to the Asian American community who's waited over a century and a half to see one of their own become the leader of the city.
Dr. Pan, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
That is former State Senator Dr. Richard Pan, who is running for Sacramento mayor. This month, we devoted Thursdays to having one-on-one conversations with the four leading candidates, which included former Sacramento City Council member Steve Hansen, epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer, and current State Assembly member Kevin McCarty. And a note for transparency, back in 2022, as a state senator, Dr. Pan steered $1 million in state budget funding to Cap Radio to help pay for construction of Cap Radio's new downtown studios. Still ahead, we're going to have a conversation with Cap Radio's interim general manager, who is stepping down today after steering the public media station during an unprecedented time. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.